Yeah. Play just a minute. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along in meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save it, he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you. Trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Listen to this, Brother Don. When your youthful days are gone, and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Amen. You believe that? He'll heal the body, I'll tell you. I don't know what happened today, but all of a sudden when I walk, I snap. Pow. I mean, you could hear it if you stand beside me. Part of getting old, right, brother? Amen. Can't cry about it. You got to laugh about it. Amen. You know, you 3 score 10 is all you promise. I'm on borrowed time. Amen. Glory. But he doesn't require anything. Just to believe on him. Amen. Word of God. Will our walk in this world resound? is cold in this world where every wrong the ever true changing me changing.
How you came this tonight with open hearts. Amen. Amen. When you come with open hearts, then God can put something in there. Amen. That will help you throughout the week. Praise the Lord Jesus. I will greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust that everybody's doing well. Just continue to pray for Brother Wade and Sister June as they continue to travel. And we all have needs, we all have things in our lives, struggles, problems. The good thing about that is that God knew them before the foundation of the world. Amen. He also knows how to resolve them. Amen. So we don't need to worry about it. Amen. We just put it in His hands and let Him take control. Amen. And I'm thankful that we serve a God like that, that knows all things. Amen. If you just want to turn to the scriptures, I'm going to do my best to not keep you all tonight too long. So y'all just pray for me. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. And as you're turning there, let's just pray to the author of the word and let him have his way tonight. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, once again, knowing that, Father, we're feeble, Lord God, and we're nothing without you, Lord Jesus. But I'm so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've made a way for us, Lord God, and that, Father, you stepped in on the scene, Lord God Almighty, when we couldn't help ourselves, Lord God Almighty. You came in, Lord Jesus, and you paid the price, Lord, for our sins, bought our healing, Lord God, and Lord, we're a blessed people in the hour that we're living in, Lord Jesus, because, Lord God, we have so many blessings and so many wonderful things, Father God, in our hands, Father, in front of us, Lord God, and sometimes we take them for granted, Lord God, and we don't take advantage of them. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Father God, and forgive us for all of our sins, and may you just have your way, Lord God, in our midst, Lord, this evening. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and Lord, may you just help me to get aside so that you can speak to your people, Lord God, whatever you'd want to say, Lord Jesus. And I just yield myself to you, Lord God, my lips. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless your people, and as your word is going forth, may it meet the needs, Father God, because, Father God, we can't meet their needs, Lord, but we know that you can, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that as the word goes forth, it may do that for your people. May you bless Brother Wade, Sister June, as they travel, Lord God, and And you just bring them back safely, Lord God, at the appointed time, Father. We love you and we commit the rest of the service into your hands. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 35. The Bible says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. That's a promise. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Verse 8, and this is where I want to concentrate on. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats this evening. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing that Isaiah brings out here with regards to things that you know, we saw in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also it's things that are waiting for us in the future. Amen. And you know, the reason why you desire those things is because those things are there for you. Amen. And I'm so glad that the condition that the world is in now, and the condition that things are now, that's not eternal. There's going to be an end to these things. And I'm so thankful for that in this hour. Amen. But I wanted to concentrate on verse number 8. And it says, and an highway shall be there, and a way. All right? And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. Amen. Now, I want to ask you all something. That if you all have ever, if you do much traveling, you know, we travel quite a bit, and I don't know if you've ever traveled and you've just been riding in the middle lane on the highway, and then you find yourself and you're there in the middle lane and you're not realizing, and you realize, wait a second, I'm in the middle lane and I don't even know. Then I don't even know how long I've been here in the middle lane. And you realize that you're not, it's kind of like you lost your focus as to where you're going, because it's the middle lane. It seems like it's a safety lane, but you're not exiting, and you're not moving forward on the speed on the fast lane either. You're just kind of there, right? And sometimes I wonder if us as Christians, if it's not that way with us sometimes. Amen. If we're just not coasting in life, amen? Spiritually, right? Because I believe we have a lot of coasters in this hour who are supposed to be Christians, but not anybody who's exiting, doing something, or moving forward, or have a goal in life spiritually. They're just coasters, amen? And so my question is to you is, are you stuck in the middle, or are you steady in the center? Right? Are you stuck in the middle? Because we all get stuck in the middle sometimes. We all get stuck in, and not realizing it and not wanting to, but sometimes we are, and it's okay to be in the middle. There's no problem to be in the middle lane. But the question is, are you stuck in the middle, or are you steady in the center? Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. And so in reading here in Isaiah chapter 35, now I just want to talk to you all this evening. I'm not going to take anything deep, but then it can be deep. Because if it touches your life deeply, amen, then it's deep then. Amen? I just want to talk to you all this evening, but try not to keep you all too long. But it says here, and then highways shall be there, and they way. And I like the way it says it in the Amplified Version. It says, a highway will be there and a roadway, and it will be called the Holy Way. Right. Amen? And so if we know what a highway is, and a highway system is, we have our highway systems, our interstate systems. We have Interstate 85 that's very well known here in, that goes through Georgia, 75. We have 985, 285. Those are all highway systems. Many cars travel through those systems, and many times we try to do whatever we can to avoid 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m. to ride in those systems. You don't want to be caught in Atlanta traffic around that time. We found out that the best time to go to Atlanta is about 3 in the morning. But who is awake at 3 in the morning? Sometimes when we're going to go to the airport, the best time to get there to the Atlanta airport from our house in Winder, Georgia, in about 45 minutes, maybe less, at 2 or 3 in the morning. But try about an hour, hour and a half any other time. But many people are traveling on this system, amen? Yeah. And so the Bible says here, the Amplified Version says, a highway will be there and a roadway, amen? And so what a highway is, of course, is the public roads that are used for travel. And they're often designed for higher speeds and longer distances. And many people travel those roads. It's the easiest route to take. It might be the longest because of the traffic, but it's the easiest routes to take. And so sometimes being that it's so easy, it's the easy choice that everybody makes because it's there. It's available for you. Anybody can get to it. It might take you a little bit longer because of the traffic, but you can ride and travel on it. Amen. And so, but the Bible says here about a roadway. And what a roadway is, is the actual pavement or the actual road itself where you're actually traveling. Amen. So the broad is the highway or the interstate system. Amen. Many find their ways and many go that route. But then there's the roadway. Amen. That sometimes, amen, it's a more focused thing. And it's actually the road where your tires are actually riding upon, right? So it does not include sidewalks, medians, or curbs. So, one way to remember this is, for example, you have your house, right? And then you have your house, that's the interstate. But then a room inside the house, that is the roadway, okay? It's something more specific, something, it's where your actual tires ride upon, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So, We see here that God, amen, wants us to have a focused way of traveling in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because everybody takes the interstate, amen, to get to where they want to go. But then sometimes, amen, God has a certain way where he wants you to go. And they may not be the exact way that you want. Amen. But that is the exact way that will take you to your destiny. Amen. Oh, many times. Amen. I can say that I've been there and I've done that many times I've wanted to go a certain way. Lord, I think this way is the best. But he's the true GPS, God's provided system, amen? Praise the Lord. He's been there before. He knows the beginning from the end. Amen. That GPS unit knows exactly the beginning from the end. Amen. And it can lead you and take you exactly. It knows exactly the bumps on the road. the places where there's construction taking place, the places that you need to avoid. It can even tell you where tolls are at and things like that and accidents and things for you to avoid if you need to take some sort of detour in your life. Amen. I'm so glad that we can look at the Word of God that way. Amen. Because we can take the Word, amen, and it can show us, amen, where there's danger coming in your life. Amen. It can show us, amen, where there's a halt zone, where people are just sitting there waiting, amen, for life to happen to them, and you're not doing anything about it. Amen. We don't want life to just happen to you. Amen. You want to happen to life. Amen. Praise God. You want to be active. Amen. And looking and say, Lord, is this the plan that you have for me? Or is there another route? Because the Bible and the Word can reroute you, but you've got to listen to the voice. You've got to listen to the voice where it says, amen, rerouting. Rerouting. There's a better way. If you tap go here, we can reroute you. There's something that you must do. How many have had that on Google Maps where it says there's a better route where you can save 10 minutes? Tap here and we'll take you over there. No, I'd rather just stay my old same way and, I'll just go through the construction zone and I'll just go, whatever, and then you'll be there longer than what you anticipated and you'll get to the place late. When the GPS was trying to tell you, hey, I can get you faster. God's provided system can take you there, amen. All you got to do is listen to the voice. But sometimes we're just too stubborn. I'm just going to talk to you tonight. Sometimes we're just too stubborn, stuck in our old ways, and think that we have it all figured out. Right? Praise God. So God's provided system or God's positioning system. Amen. Because I want to be positioned right. I want to be positioned in an exact place where God wants me to be. Amen. There's something that you and I, saints, that we must fulfill in this hour. Amen. We're not just here, amen, to just fulfill and sit on a bench and warm a bench. Amen. But there's something, amen, that you and I have to do in the hour. Somebody's got to be blessed by your life. Amen. Amen. God's put you here, amen, not to just sit around. Amen. But God's put you here, amen, to be a blessing to someone tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it can be through just the way you live. You may not say anything. You may not say, amen, but just the way your life, amen, the way you live your life, amen, can speak volumes, amen, to people. It can speak volumes to people in a negative way, but it can also speak volumes to people in a positive way. And you don't have to say one word. Amen? Now, the highway mentality of the world is wide. Amen. And of course, there's many lanes, many ways to get there. Right? When you're going down 85 on Atlanta, you know, it seems like no matter how many lanes they put, it still takes you long to get to Atlanta, right? It's just that traffic, and you're going to find at least two or three accidents on the way there. But there are many ways. You know, I remember one time when Oprah Winfrey said, there's many ways to get to Christ. Amen. But the Bible tells me, and Jesus speaking, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Yeah, right. The easy route is usually the wrong route. Amen. The easy route, the route of least resistance is usually the route where people are going to end up in destruction. But the hard route, amen, that thing, that peach pass that you can pay for. See, not everybody is willing to pay the price in this hour. Amen. Right. But when you pay peach pass, amen, there is only one lane where you can go, and you stay right there, and you're passing everybody, but you're being led and you're being guided. Everybody is taking the easy route. Amen. But when you've paid the price, amen, you've prayed, you've read, you've done everything that you can, amen, as a parent, as a husband, as a son and daughter of God, amen, God will take you the rest of the way, amen. Oh my, you have somebody backing you up, amen. Now, I'm looking at it in the positive sense because I don't like it when they take out the money automatically every time, right? But it definitely comes in handy when there's those big accidents and long lines in down Atlanta. I'll tell you that. No, I'd rather just stay in my old ways and get there when I get there. That's fine. I'm going to take the shortcut. And God's given us a shortcut here. Amen. It's up to you. If God's given us the exact way, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there is no shortcuts in the Christian walk. Amen. I want you to understand that. I'm just speaking physically and kind of interchangeably going back and forth. All right. Now, in John 14:6, it says, because there's only one focus lane. Amen. As I was speaking about, Jesus answered and said, I am the way. He specifically pointed it to him. He focused it right on the exact lane where you needed to go. I am the only way. Amen. Meaning him. Praise God. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Oh my, so out goes, amen, the way to get to Christ through Buddhism. Out goes the way to get to Christ through Hinduism. Out goes the way to get through Christ through your own way. And your way is not the way to get there, amen. It's Jesus' way, or it's the highway, or get out of the way, amen, because he's the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And nobody comes to the Father except by him. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we have somebody, amen, that can take us to our destination. Amen. And that we can have confidence in. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's only one way sometimes. Maybe you're going through a trial in your life. Do you remember the three Hebrew children when they were a statue of Daniel was erected and they were told that if they were not to worship that statue, if they were not to worship that, then they were going to go into an oven that was going to be burned 7 times hotter than it usually was. Right. Well, they were already on this route. They were already on a certain, and how can we stop obeying God, amen, to take a detour, amen, to serve the devil? Amen. They were not going to. And so they were there just serving God and staying faithful to God. And sometimes in serving the Lord and staying faithful to him, it may not seem like that's the right way. But that was the exact way that the children of Israel the three Hebrew children needed to go in order to be saved from that fire. Right. Amen. As they were going in there, I can imagine probably they were maybe swallowing and maybe getting fearful as they were approaching that oven. I don't know how big that oven was, but it was big enough for them to fit in there. Yeah. And as they were opening those doors, I could just imagine the guards leading them, and they probably did not even want to get near. And as they were getting near, their eyes were melting from their sockets is how hot it was. And here everybody was watching from far off as they were probably walking in, those three Hebrew boys, and nothing was happening to them while the guards were just laying down, burning them all burnt up to a crisp. Can you imagine that? They needed to stay in their lane, keep moving forward. Oh my, God's ways sometimes, they're not the easiest ways, but that's the way, the truth, and the life. That's what's going to save you, amen. And when they got in there, amen, that's when they found out somebody was in there waiting for them. Amen. Had the AC turned on high. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. No matter how hot it was, praise the Lord, they were cool in there. Whew. It's like, praise the Lord. Sometimes in God's way, it might be the hottest way. On the outside, it looks that way. But that's the easier route to take. Amen. That's the best route to take in order to save your life. Amen. In order to get to your destination. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham says this in 1957. He says, good, wonderful. And then they used to talk about the highway of holiness. Now, if you read over that, they get that out of Isaiah 35. Now, if you notice, he said, there shall be a highway and a way. Now, and is a conjunction. See, a highway, it wasn't a highway of holiness. It shall be a highway and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. So in the amongst this highway, there is a way. Right? The peach patch, the peach pass lane or the fast lane, amen, it's on the highway. But you gotta pay the price to get on that lane, right? Praise God. And I'm afraid that people nowadays are not willing to pay the price. They don't want to pray. They don't want to read. They don't want to take the time to meditate on God. They don't want to reflect on their own life. Lord, why am I here? What's the purpose that I have in this life? Right? They don't want to take the time to do that. They just want life to happen to them. Why? Because we're living in an age where people are cold and lukewarm, and they want to be half in, but at the same time half out. Right? That's how people want to live their lives. Right? Not willing to pay the price. Let me tell you what, saints, anybody that's ever gotten far in life spiritually or in any way, amen, they've paid the price. It's been hard. Amen? Praise God. You want to lose weight, you got to pay the price. Amen? You want to obtain wealth in life, you got to pay the price. I'm just talking carnally now. Amen. You want to do these things and obtain things in life, young people, you got to pay the price. You've got to do something. There's something that you have to put in order for you to get something out of it. And that and there is no difference in the spiritual life. Amen. The more you put in of God, the more interest you're going to get out of it. Amen. The more you put in God's spiritual bank account, the more you're going to get out of that account. Amen. And it's going to come out with interest. Hallelujah. Because God blesses you beyond measure. He just doesn't give you back, amen, what you put in. He gives you back and more. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's the best interest account, better than Capital One, better than Truist, better than anything that you might have. Amen. It's God's bank account. Hallelujah. And it's eternal and it keeps giving. Praise God. But you got to put something into it. And a way, and it's called the way of holiness, not the highway of holiness, the way of holiness. And the way of the road is the middle of the road, Brother Branham says. Right. Now, I want to talk about this middle of the road here in just a moment. It's built like this so that the waters will wash off the trash to both sides, keeping the road clean. You have the puddles standing in your road all the time if it isn't built right. The way is the middle of the road. So what Brother Branham is trying to say here is that this highway system, the middle of the road is riding in the middle of the road. Amen. And usually when you're looking in the middle of the road, if the road is built properly, it's made to where when it rains, the water washes off from the sides. Otherwise, you're going to have standing puddles in the middle of the road, and that won't be good. Right? And so Brother Branham continues to say here, now on this side, when people get converted, watch this, when people get converted, their minds is set on Christ. And if they're just a little scholarly and don't keep under prayer, right? Look what he's pointing back to the things that we as Christians are supposed to do. And I just wonder if we even do them. Are you waiting for the pastor to do all the praying for you or for the minister or your sister? No. Amen. There's a part that you must, there's the price that you must pay. Hallelujah. And don't keep under prayer. Watch what happens. They'll get real cold and stiff and starchy, these scholarly ones, right? And indifferent, he says. And then if they're just a little bit nervous, right? And if you don't watch, they'll just get radical and wild. So in other words, there's no balance, right? There's no middle of the road. And they just get radical and wild on this side. See, they go into sensations and everything else. Right? We've been there. We've seen that. Amen? Now, he says now, but the real church is a real sane gospel right in the middle of the road. All right? So there's a positive middle of the road that I'm going to speak about here in just a moment. But then there's a negative aspect of the middle of the road as well that I want you to know. It's not cold and starchy, he says. Neither is it fanaticism. Amen. It's a real good old warm gospel, heartfelt love of God going right down the middle of the road, calling from both sides. Amen. That's right. Now that's what, and how, and watch what he says. And how are you going to get that, church? How are you going to get that? By coming to church more? By you know, giving more money to the church, or by feeding the poor, or praying for somebody? No, he says, watch what he says. He says, right out of the word, the Urim and Thummim. Amen. This is the only way you're going to have a balanced life in your life. You want to be a balanced Christian. Amen. The only way, this is what balances you. The Old and New Testament. Hallelujah. It's very easy for us to go one way, lean one way or the other. Amen. Because that's human nature for a human to do that. Amen. But not to stay balanced, because when you stay balanced, amen, then you can get to your destination, amen, in a better, easier way. And if, for those who don't know what the Urim Thummim is, the Urim Thummim is, it was that vest that the high priest would wear, and he had those 12 stones, each a color for each one of the tribes of Israel. And if anybody, because they had no Bible at the time, they had no scrolls or anything like that at the time. And so what they, if somebody would dream a dream or say, I received something from the Lord or prophecy from the Lord, they had to go to that high priest and speak this. And if those stones would light up, if they would light up, amen, then that means what they were saying what did come from God, because it was according, amen. God's word always says amen to God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so those stones would light up, and it was like, this man is telling the truth. Yeah. But if those stones would not light up, then this man is lying. Right. There was no gray areas. There was no gray areas. Amen. It was either he was telling truth, he was speaking God's word, or he wasn't. Right. Amen. And so that is the big thing in the hour that we're living in, saints. It's for you to be balanced and in the middle of the road. Amen. In such a way that you know when truth is going forth, and you know when falseness is going forth as well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's not enough to just come, amen, and we come to a good teaching church if you don't know how to discern the word of God yourself. You're supposed to be the walking, living word of God yourself. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know how to discern the word yourself, amen, then you need the lighting in your life first. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if the devil can't keep you from seeing the truth, and I'm so thankful, amen, that God's shown us truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But if he can't keep you from seeing truth, what he'll do is he'll push you off on the deep end with it. And he'll cause you to be very, very starchy. Right? I don't act like them. Look how they run up and down the aisles. Right? You better be careful with that. I'd be careful, amen, because Brother Branham criticized a woman one time dancing in the spirit. And he realized, wait a second, he was out there dancing with her at a later point. God rebuked him for that. But then those that are too emotional, criticizing those who are trying to pay attention and trying to listen, taking notes, right? That's out of balance as well, right? You know, just because sometimes we're too quiet or too or maybe a little bit too loud, amen. I'm so thankful that God made us that way. Right. It's a bouquet of flowers, amen. Yeah. That God has. God didn't create just one kind of flower. Right. Amen. God created multiple types of different flowers, amen, and different flavors of food. Can you imagine if all food tasted the same? Every single peach and every apple and every pineapple and every vegetable, it all tasted like one thing. That would be boring. But God didn't make it that way. God made flavors. Amen. Different flavors and different tastes. Amen. For different moods and different. Amen. Sometimes it's better to eat something at a different time than it is another time, and so forth. Amen. Praise God. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich doesn't taste as good, you know, a certain time of in the morning during breakfast, as does bacon and sausage and eggs and stuff like that. That tastes better in the morning, right? And fruit and oatmeal. But imagine having fruit and oatmeal and bacon and sausage, you know, at night. Well, some of y'all already do that anyways. I was telling the church over there in Anderson, South Carolina, Brother Gene, and then I was like, you know, trying to do everything I can to get this weight off that you gain off in October, November, December, because we stay up on midnight service on December 31st eating cookies at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you know you normally don't be eating cookies at 2 or 3 in the morning. And then that's what we're like, that's what we get up wanting to make changes on January 1st about our weight and our different things. I'm not knocking them because you only do it one time a year, right? All right. So it's good to have a balanced life. And that's what Brother Brandon was talking about here, is to be down the middle of the road. Amen? So sometimes it is good to be in the middle of the road, but don't stay in the middle of the road, or don't stay just in the middle, amen, because then you won't, there'll be times, amen, where you have to exit, and you won't be able to exit fast enough, right? Right, so this is what the middle of the road in a negative sense is, amen. In other words, you're not fully committed to God, but you're not fully rejecting Him either. You're just in the middle of the road, right? So there's the middle of the road in the positive sense, right? You have to know when you're standing, when you're standing balanced, amen, not go too far into one extreme or the other. That's the middle of the road. But then there's this negative aspect of being in the middle of the road where you don't know where to stand or how to stand for truth when you need to stand for truth. I'll just stay in the middle of the road and just kind of just let life happen to me and whatever. Right? See, there's no clear direction in this way. And if you read with me in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it was when Elijah was coming down to the people, and he was getting ready to have the showdown with the 400 or so prophets who were worshiping Baal. And he tells the people, and he says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" In other words, how long are you going to be stuck in the middle? Not defending truth when you need to defend truth, but not coming against iniquity and falseness and things like that when you need to as well. Right? And Elijah was coming to a point where he needed to, it was either the showdown was coming and you were to choose this day, who are you going to serve? And he says here, "How long are you going to be stuck between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal or Satan, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. They were still trying to decide. Right? So one of the disadvantages of not staying balanced in life, or staying right down of just being wishy-washy, I guess you could say, is that you don't have any clear direction. Amen. You don't commit to exiting at one point. You don't commit to speeding up if you need to speed up. You're just kind of coasting in life. Amen. And you're just going in life, but you're not deciding upon anything. I'll just wait and see. You might be waiting too long. God sometimes waiting on you, right? To see what you'll do. Praise God. The other reason why it's so easy to just stay down the middle of the lane is because another harmful reason is because What happens is there's constant pressure from both sides. You got cars on this side, you got cars on this side, and it seems like it's the safest route to go. But you won't be ready to exit or do God's next plan for your life when it comes time to, right? Praise God. Cars are passing you on the left. Others are entering and exit on the right. And you're surrounding and you're constantly reacting to things, right? When you're in the middle. Amen. See, the world is pulling you one way and then God and church is pulling you the other way. And you don't make a decision. It's so easy to do that, especially for our young people, for that when they haven't fully, amen, committed to God, amen. The world is pulling me one way, but what about this here? How can I do this if I'm so committed, if I stay so committed to God, or if I'm constantly, I won't be able to do this in life, amen. Sometimes you have to realize and figure out what you're going to give up in order to obtain spiritual riches. I'm sorry to say. Are you willing to give up those things in order to grow spiritual in life? Amen. It's hard. But those things, amen, that you obtain right here on the slow lane, amen, or those things that you obtain right here on the spiritual side, those things are going to last. Those things are eternal. The things that you obtain here in life, amen, they're only for a little season. That'll make you, they'll help you through life just for a little while, but the things, amen, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Bible says. Put your treasures in heaven where there's no moth eaten, nothing eating it up or it's rusting, amen. Praise God. In James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is a double-minded man? It's a man that hasn't chosen who am I? Where am I going to go in life? Who am I going to serve? If I'm the only one left in life, what am I going to do? If my loved ones around me die, my husband dies, my wife dies, my mom and dad die, they pass away, what am I going to choose in life? Those are questions that we sometimes don't ask ourselves because we're so comfortable with the life that we live in now and so comfortable coasting. And we forget, amen, that sometimes we have to make choices in life. And sometimes it's hard. Amen. It's easy to drift without realizing when you're in that middle lane just coasting. Amen. In Revelation 3:15 says that thou art neither cold nor hot. That was the condition of Laodicea. Amen. Amen. They could not choose whether to be cold or hot. So let's just have a little bit of both and let's just be lukewarm. But nobody likes lukewarm coffee. Nobody likes to eat anything that's lukewarm. It's either cold pizza or hot pizza. Right? Nothing lukewarm, amen. But that is the condition in the hour that we're living in, that everybody, it's okay to be lukewarm. It's okay to just be coasting. It's okay to just be spiritually, numb from time to time. But you have to decide whether you're going to be cold or you're going to be cold or hot, amen. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day who you will serve. So if you're just constantly staying in the middle and I'll just wait for God to do something in my life and you're not actively, amen, seeking his will for your life, you're going to end up missing the exit at some point. Amen. All right, the exit's going to pass by and you missed the opportunity, amen, for the next thing in your life. Amen. Spiritually speaking, it feels safe, but there's no purpose behind it. There's no purpose behind it. It feels safe to be in the middle lane. You know, my wife, we argue about this point all the time when we're traveling. Because I like to take my time, and y'all know that. That's just how I am. And I want to just stay in the slow lane and just ride. I don't care how many 18-wheelers are behind me are in front of me. I just want to take my time, put on a podcast, put on a sermon, put on something, and just listen and just ride along. What, you know, whoever comes in and whatever, I'll slow down for them. Unless if we really need to get somewhere, then I'll maybe get in the middle lane. But but my wife tells me, because she says she learned this from her dad, is that the best lane is the middle lane. Because then if you're ready to exit, you know your exit's coming, then you can get onto the slow lane and then you can exit. Or if you need to get on the fast lane, you can get on the fast lane right away. I still like the slow lane, though. Because I don't feel nervous that way. Right. When I'm on the fast lane, you know, people right behind you, I mean, they run you over on 85. There's some crazy people out there. Right? But I like the slow lane. I like to take it easy. Amen? And just focus and concentrate. But you know, the middle lane, if it feels safe, but there's, you know, staying quiet and staying, you know, neutral in your Christian walk, it feels safe. It feels like you're doing something okay, but there's no purpose. You have no purpose. Amen. People in the New Testament, when they came to Christ, amen, how did this word, amen, get spread? By people staying at home and just waiting for everybody to come to them? No. They went out. And I wonder if that's just not what happens to us sometimes, that we get stuck in life spiritually. Because who are we talking to about the Lord? Who are we witnessing to? You don't have anybody, you know, that you give that opportunity, amen, to, and that's why we die spiritually. Because there's no power coming flowing out of us, amen, when we deal with people. We're just waiting until they bring up the topic. And sometimes God may want you to bring up a topic, right? Maybe sometimes not. I'm not saying all the time, but I'm just saying be available if sometimes God wants you to do something, right? Be available. Be available. Amen. Because what caused those saints of old, amen, to die with boldness and to live their lives, amen, to die in Colosseums hung upside down like Peter was and had their heads chopped off and stuff? Was it because they were just staying at home and waiting for everything to happen to them? No. It's because they went out. It gave them a surge of energy. I don't know if you ever feel that way. When you help somebody, especially when you're helping people spiritually, it gives you a surge of energy to keep moving forward. I want to help the next person. When you've helped somebody spiritually, amen, it just gives you that energy, amen. I want to help somebody else. I want to do something for somebody else, amen. But if we're just stagnant, amen, then there's no energy in that. You know, energy comes out when something's moving, right? When something is moving and something is, then energy comes out of that. Don't be stagnant in life. Don't be stagnant, amen. Brother Branham says here, and faith is our victory. He says, now there are so many people that doesn't seem to have any kind of purpose in life, especially in this day that we now live. Oh, my. If it was like that in 1958, imagine now. People just seem to think that all they have to do is to keep up with somebody else, with the Hollywood stars or the social media influencers. And, you know, that's good enough. But with the fashions of the world, he says, and with the enticements that the world has given to them. Just like this, if you go to school and some of the little girls wear a certain little frock or dress or whatever, you would call it, all the ambition the rest of the school has is to pattern after that girl. Some of the women see on the television some certain lady come out and dressed in a certain fashion. Well, that's their ambition, is to dress and to act like that. And that seems to be just about the limit of the American ambition, is to get a new job or to get a raise in your salary and to get a television or a new car, right? Brother Branham says this. Your prophet says, let me say this, those things may be all right, but there's higher ambitions in the human life than those things. And Christians should set their affection on higher ambitions. Right? And he says, watch what he says, the remedy that he gives for this. This is what we should do. He says, I think it would pay us all to sit down and wonder why we are here. You know, it's unfortunate that people, they consider suicide and get depressed. And, you know, there's a case where somebody in the Hall County School District, apparently a teacher just committed suicide. And it's a sad thing that just came out this week. But if you wonder, amen, sometimes if you're thinking, why am I here? Why is it that God placed me? I'm here for a purpose. That I'm just not here just to be here, just to fill a blank. I'm here to fulfill something, and not just for myself, but I have these connections around me and these people around me. I have a wife. I have a mother. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. I have brothers in the flesh and sisters. I have cousins. I have aunts. I have uncles. I have grandparents. I have everything around me that I can be an influence to. But what am I doing? What am I doing? And he says, I think it would pay us all to sit down and wonder why we are here in the first place. And ever who was kind enough to bring us here, which we know it was Christ, he says, we ought to consider and ask him what he would have us to do. But the problem is we don't ask him. We rather go and ask ChatGPT, or go ask Google, or go ask some AI thing, some AI bot, what is my purpose of my life? And that AI chatbot is only going to tell you what you feed it. So if you give it the data, then it's going to always say something to you that's positive, that sounds like what you want to hear. Right? But God is not like an AI chatbot. God is not like ChatGPT, because God will skin you alive and he'll tell you where you're wrong and when you're not. Whether it be by ear, or whether it be by through the preacher, or whether it be through a tape, he will tell you where you're wrong if you want to get to where you want to get in life. And that's what we don't like. We don't like to be skinned, and we don't like to hear truth. But truth is what's going to set you free. Hallelujah. We don't like to be skinned. We don't like to be told what's wrong in our lives, or where we're failing our husband or our wife or the people or amen. We don't like to be told those things. You keep that to yourself. Don't you meddle. Don't you meddle in my life. And you don't even realize if that's God, amen. The one, and you're telling God to, and you are praying, Lord, speak to my heart tonight when I go to church. Oh, God. Amen. And then the brother starts preaching against you and about your life and how you live. And that's not what I asked for, Lord. He was up there meddling. And you, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Well, God is always going to tell you truth, whether you like it or not. That's what, because the only thing that flows out of him is truth. And if you're wrong, he'll tell you where you're wrong so that you can come back, amen, to the middle of the road again, amen? Because right. You're leaning too much to one side or the other. Yeah. Amen. He wants you in the middle of the road. Hallelujah. We ought to consider and ask him what he would have us to do, the purpose of us coming to fulfill what he has purposed for us. Amen. But we seem to be just wanting to keep up with the world, Brother Branham says. Right. Brother Branham relates a story one time when he said that he was at his house and a bum came knocking at his door one time. He said that he didn't like to call him a bum, but you know, he was just seemed like he was just a drifter, a wanderer that was just walking around, you know, in life. And he said that he opened the door and he said, "Sir, how can I help you?" And the man said, "You think I could get a sandwich?" Nowadays, they ask you for more. They're just blatant. They ask you, "Hey, you got $10. Go down to Atlanta." I remember one time I went down to Atlanta. A guy came out here to ask me for, "Hey, I'm hungry, man. You mind if I get me something to eat?" Yeah, that's fine. I'll get you something. I went into Subway with him, and I said, "Just get what you want." And I was thinking, you know, he was only just going to get like a little 6-foot, you know, whatever. He said, get me that foot long salami, whatever thing. He said, and the lady said, okay, what you want on it? She said, he said, just put everything on it. Just put all. One time we went to Golden Corral. This was Golden Corral right here in Gainesville. Yeah, we was with Sister Cleta. Sister Cleta was with us one time. There was a guy out there waiting. And like he had the whole plan ready. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He said, hey, man, you mind if I get something to eat? Yeah, yeah, come on in here. And you know, at the way they do at Golden Corral is, I said, just go in there and get whatever you need. And he filled up that plate. He filled it up completely. And I didn't realize that they charge you by the weight. He filled that thing up. I mean, and I was like, what in the world? And that thing come out $35-$40. But I had already told the guy, and the food was already in the plate. They know it. He probably went out and sold that to other people and made money that way. They sly. But this man came out. I don't want to keep y'all so long, but I'm having a good time. But this man came to Brother Branham knocking the door, and Brother Branham said, can I help you? He said, you mind if I get a sandwich? And Brother Branham said, sure, come on. He had that man come on in. And he said, Brother Branham said he went in the kitchen and actually didn't make him a peanut butter jelly sandwich or anything. He said he actually cooked him something and made him something. And he sat down on the table and ate with him. And he asked the man, he said, sir, so where are you coming from? And the man, as he's eating, he just looks at him and he just kind of shrugs his shoulder. Well, I don't know. And he just keeps eating, Brother Branham says. He says, so where are you going? And just keeps eating. And he's like, so what's your purpose? What do you have purpose? And I don't know. He just keeps eating. And Brother Branham just was so, he couldn't believe that. Here's a man who has, he said, how long have you been doing this, sir? He said, well, I've been doing it for over 25 years. Just no purpose in life. Just, I just wonder sometimes if people in this, nowadays, they're just like that. Hey, where are you going? What do you have plans? What plans do you have? I don't know. Just whatever comes to me, you know. Hey, man, have something that you're planning for in life. Amen. Do something about your life. You were created, amen, to live your life, amen, in such a way where it can affect not just yourself or your wallet or your tummy, amen, but affect others around you as well, amen. Praise God. Because others need what you have. You're unique. Amen. You're unique, and others need what you have. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says that's just about the attitude of the people. Just, he says what he calls drifters and floaters. What, you know, have you heard of driftwood? Driftwood, just wood that just kind of floats down the river, and then eventually it just kind of ends up in a little corner there in the river. And as the flow of the stream is just going, it kind of moves, just sit there and just doing this. But it doesn't go anywhere. It's just sit there stuck. All right, that's how people live life nowadays. They don't care. Amen, but you weren't born to be a drifter, amen. You weren't born to be driftwood, amen. You were born to be a son and daughter of God, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And every son and daughter of God that I've seen in the Word, amen, they did something with their lives, amen. They affected somebody, praise God. Hallelujah. We weren't just driftwood, just drifting around and waiting for things to happen to them. Amen, but you happened to life. And you watch, amen, that there's things that will take place. People will change and your life will change. Right. Amen? Right? And the people who join church is just about the same, he says. I've often thought of floating driftwood, and talks about the driftwood. Amen. So I'm finishing up with this. Here's the main difference between both of the middle of the roads that I've been talking about. There's that negative middle of the road. Amen. Where you have to know between truth and error, right? Be ready to defend truth when it's time to defend truth. Because let me tell you, it's coming down the wire where you're either going to stand for God or you're going to stand with the world or the political world or the world, amen, that they're trying to present for you right now. Amen. You're either going to stand with that or are you going to stand with truth and God? You have to, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision. Amen. And I hope that all the training that you've received, amen, by coming to this church or feeding on the word all throughout your life, amen, will settle you, amen, to choose truth, amen. Praise God. So stay in the middle of the road, amen. But then there's that middle of the road, amen, where don't go off too far into fantastics, as Brother Brandon would say, but don't go off too much, amen, into starchiness and not willing to let the Spirit of God work, amen, when it needs to work. Right? Be able, amen, to be flexible. Because when you're flexible, then God can work with you. When you're just hard and starchy and just, amen, God tries to pick you up, but then you just crumble. Because there's no oil, no oil in your life, no flexibility, amen. Like that, those skins of wine that Jesus said, right? They break apart, amen, because why? They lost oil, that natural oil. And oil represents the Holy Spirit, amen. But be flexible. When they have oil, amen, new skins have oil, amen, they're more flexible, right? They can hold more. Be willing, amen. Be flexible, praise God. Centered with truth, keeping the word in a balanced state, amen. God never called us to the middle between truth and error, but he called us to the center of truth itself. Amen. He called us to be a light to the world, right? The world needs more light bearers than ever before because there's so much gross darkness in the land. And he needs you to shine your light. It may not be much. It may not be much, but if there's light there, shine it. Amen. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under your bed. Don't hide it under the bench. Don't hide it, amen, where people don't know if you're a Christian or not. Right? Make it shine. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing the song. Highway, can we sing that song, Highway to Heaven, Key of C, Sister Esther? Let's just dismiss with this real quick. They can cue up the Highway to Heaven. The highway.
Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking on the King's highway. My way gets brighter, my load gets lighter, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, his love to guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King highway. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I'm walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, his angels guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with my going, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
Let's sing that one more time. It's a highway.
It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up that King's highway.
Amen. Praise the Lord this evening. Thank you for the word we heard. You know, that road out there is dangerous. Janet and I had been on the road a couple of days with the kids. And she was, we were in front of Disney World doing about 80 mile an hour. And she had her head in my lap about 2 o'clock in the morning, just asleep, and I'm driving. And she goes, "What's going on?" Two trucks and a car doing 100 mile an hour, one on each side, came together right in front of me, started spinning. And she said, "What's going on?" I was kind of letting off the gas, and I said, "Don't get up. You don't want to know right now." But I'm telling you, the whole road just opened up for us. We got through that, and I know that thing was shut down for hours and hours. That's just the way it in life. The struggles you have every day, if you just yield to Him and His Word, things open up. And the light comes in, brightens the day. Because I've been in a dark place for about a week. I'm telling you. And if you don't believe that this is the way and the truth and the life, you're not going to get out of here. That's the only thing that's holding me. I know that somebody's going to take a rapture. I told you before, don't put on my grave that He died. I just believe that I'm going to get out of here. I just believe that there's no more word to come. It's just a revelation. We need to get out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening under free choice that we walked in this building because of the love of God that we have in our hearts and we have for our brothers and for our sisters, that we come together and become one body, the bride of Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh in this day. That's what the world does not see or understand, how this Bible is not a history book. They think it's a history book. But it's my life. It's the life of the bride. It's the life of each one of us in this hall tonight, Lord. And I just pray that when we walk out of here, that we brighten the world, just what little light we might, little flicker of light we have, Lord, that it will bless somebody. And that way they may see the hope there is in Jesus Christ, that they may know Him personally, and that He will do a work in them and they will do a work for Him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this evening as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.